It's truly been a blessing to be here this morning to participate in the Bible study in our class, to have fellowship with one another, to see our friends and loved ones, and to participate in the Lord's Supper. All these are blessings that we hope we're not taking for granted, but they've become a very part of our life, the fabric of what we are. So we're glad to have you here this morning. It's so very good to see Brother Norman back again this morning, as well as others that have been away. And we look forward to our study this morning as well. I want to begin this morning with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just two verses, but they're very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. There the scripture says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This lays out the reason why we're here this morning. It lays out the reason why we are Christians. It lays out the reasons why we give ourselves to worship God as we do. Because we were bought with a price, and what a price it really was. I've seen some doctor's reports about the death of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that really struck me that I hadn't really thought about was the fact that it was difficult for him not to suffocate to death because he was hanging by his hands that were nailed to the cross. And also, they had a place for him to have his feet, though they were nailed. He would try to rise up to breathe. Well, that would put pain on everything. He endured all that. It wasn't because he enjoyed pain, because he knew that I needed him. And he knew that you needed him. And so we think about that this morning as the fact that we're bought with a price, and what a price it was. And we therefore to glorify God, as he said. The fact is, you were bought at a price. And this was a price that was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. We talked about the sacrifices that men and women bring to the temple and offer as a dead sacrifice. And Romans 12:1 says we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. But we give ourselves to God as a free will offering. He is ours and we are his. And so this is something that's tremendously important. First of all, we were bought with a price from slavery. And I think today people don't look at sin as slavery. But when you really look at the effects of sin, I use, for example, addiction. Whether it's to alcohol or to some kind of drugs, the opioids today, or just something illegal drugs, I've seen real slavery. I've seen people who are under the control of drugs, and they do things that they wouldn't do otherwise because they have to steal to pay the price. They have to kill sometimes to pay the price. And thus I know that they're a slave of sin, and the Bible talks of that in Romans 3:23 when it talks about the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in Romans chapter 6, the Bible talks to us about what sin really does. And in verse 16 of Romans 6, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" And so we're going to be slaves, slaves of good or slaves of evil. And he asked the question, "Do you not know this? When you present your body in sin, then you have the wage of sin," Romans 6:23, "the wage of sin is death." And verse 20 adds to that, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." And that talks about the world. That's the way the world is today. I'm really frustrated as an American. I'm frustrated more as a Christian when I see the violence and hatred that's sweeping our country today. When I see homes being destroyed and babies being aborted. You see all these various things that are taking place. And nobody seems to be penitent. Nobody seems to say, "Well, that's wrong and I'm going to get out of that way of life." They just go on with the flow. And I recognize most people that I know in the world are slaves of sin and death. What we're trying to do is talk about freedom. You know, Martin Luther King made one of the best oratory statements about being free, free at last. And I can understand that from the standpoint of coming out of slavery, but it's so much better to come out of slavery to sin and put all that behind you. And you know that that's a gift from God. And I need to glorify God because of that, that He set me free from these past sins that I've committed. And all of us have. There's no use to just be polite and talk about it. We've sinned. And God has set us free from that. Also, we're free from the dominion of sin. Because it does, it's cruel. You know, the devil never says, well, I'm going to leave you alone. I've hurt you too much. I've been through things that hurt me to my core. And I recognize that if I gave in, it would still do the same thing again and again and again. There is no mercy with Satan. There is no forgiveness with Satan. And man, that tells me I don't want to spend an eternity with him. But people that are going to be lost are going to spend an eternity in the presence of Satan, who has dealt us so much misery. Every time we hear of a death, we know that it's because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and we had to leave the garden, they did, and the tree of life was left behind. We don't have access to the tree of life anymore. And we're looking forward to when we do have. And so those things are really important to understand. So beginning in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 13, Paul says, has then that what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That's such an important passage. Have you realized in your life how exceedingly sinful sin is? Have you looked around and see what it's doing to families? Have you looked around and see what it's doing to children? One of the things that's in the news lately has been the number of pedophiles that are being arrested and the fact that they are abusing children that are as young as 2 months old. It just doesn't register that people could be that sinful. But they're under the dominion of Satan, and they do what Satan wants them to do. And so you look at the world and you see all this going on. Lord, save us from that. Can't you say that too? Keep me from that. I don't want to be a part of that. And so he goes on to say that I wouldn't have known sin except it became exceedingly sinful. God wanted me to understand the true picture of what sin is and to know how dreadful it is and how far it will carry you away from God. Then he went on to say, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And I think Paul was talking about him before he became a Christian. He was carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And have you felt that conflict in your own self? You see, here's something that's good. But on the other hand, here's a desire to do something wrong. And what you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. And so I'm under the control of Satan, even though I don't want to do that. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now there's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. And that's the conflict that goes on in everybody. Paul felt that in him as well. And he later learned that he, as he described himself, a chief of sinners, because he had indeed put to death Christians and put them in prison. And so he was under the dominion of sin during that time. But now then, we've been freed and we have been brought to redemption. As Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, at Miletus, when they came over from Ephesus on his trip, he said that they had been given, that he had purchased the church with his blood. And what a true thing that really is, that he's purchased the church with his blood. And so we've been set free in those regards. And the fact is that these things have bought for me with a price, Jesus Christ. And that was his precious blood. We took the Lord's Supper this morning, and it is a very simple thing. It's not ornate. It's not lavish. It is simply eating of the bread to remember the body of Christ and taking the fruit of the vine to remember the blood of Christ. But it's that precious blood that Peter talked about that purchased us with his blood. And that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the price that was paid in order to free me from that slavery to sin. But you're not your own. And that's against popular thought. I put down humanism. I didn't know a better thing to put down. The reason that it's against popular thought is that the popular thought is I've got my rights. I'm going to do what I want to do. Women say my body belongs to me, so I can do with it what I want to. You see, that's the way of the world. But in reality, it's against the very thing about the consequence that I was purchased by the blood of Christ, and I don't have those rights anymore. And until we learn to become humble, we're never going to accept the consequences of what Jesus did for us. I've got to humble myself down. How many times have you heard an invitation? How many times should you hear an invitation before it soaks into your heart and recognizes Jesus died for me? Now put your name there. Jesus died for you. And you need to appreciate that and understand that you've got to walk in the way that God wants you to, because Jeremiah 10:23 says it's not a man that walks to direct his own steps. So we branch out on our own. I'm going to have a house. I'm going to have a car. I'm going to have a family. I've got my planning for the future. And James warns us. He warns us about that. That the time may come when I have to give an answer for all the things that I've done. And that's true. There is a time when you've got to give an answer before God for how many times you've rejected the gospel, for how many times you've lived apart from the Lord's church, for how many times you've done things that are wrong and haven't repented. And those are real things. Part of a gospel preacher's work is to drive that point home. Part of a preacher's work is not happy, because you have to point out to people that they're sinners. You see, I take my understanding of that from Acts chapter 2, when there were thousands and thousands of Jews in Jerusalem. Peter and the apostles preached the gospel of Christ for the very first time, and what they did was lay the fact that they crucified the Lord Jesus on their backs. Well, are they the only ones? Do you crucify him anew by continuing in sin? See, those things are something we need to understand. And so it's my job to remind you that you are a sinner if you're not a Christian. That you are lost if you're not a Christian. That you have to face the judgment day when all the secrets of life are going to be opened up before whom we have to do. And I need to recognize and understand how important it is that we will walk in the way that God wants me to walk and understand that. Romans chapter 6, the question is asked with regard to Paul's thinking about sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And somewhere there was a warped thinking going on. We're saved by grace, so let's just keep on sinning so grace will keep on coming. And Paul said, God forbid. May it not be that that's the soul? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Well, there was a group of people in the Christians in the first century called the Gnostics. And they had found a way. I remember in one of our studies in Florida years ago, we had studies with preachers. And one of our brethren asked another, how is it that you found a way to fellowship sinful practices? And that's what they were doing. And this man said, we found a way. Well, I've never understood that. How do you find a way to fellowship things that God hates? And so that's what he's saying here. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, you get rid of those sinful things, you stop doing those sinful things. And that's hard to do. I know that. Because every time you watch something on television like that, you see something going on. And sinful things, and people are proud of it. And they do all those things. Slaves who do the master's bidding. But this positive thing, your body and your spirit are God's. That's what that was saying. And so there's a special relationship that we need to appreciate and understand. And that is that we belong to God. I'm His. He owns me because He bought me with a price. In Titus 2, beginning of verse 13, we read, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Does that fit you? Can you look at those verses and understand that that describes your wish, your desire, your life? If you can't, you're not God's special people. And it's such a privilege to be able to say that. To know that way back in my life when I was younger, I walked down the aisle and I confessed Christ. I believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. One of the brethren took me back to the baptistry and baptized me into Christ, and I've never regretted it for an instant. It's always been so special to recognize that when you're buried in baptism, you're buried into the death of Christ, and His blood washes us clean from our sins. What a privilege it is to have that opportunity. We studied in class this morning about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit brought us the gospel. And by our faith and by our obedience to that, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And so He is our Lord. He is our Lord. He's my master. I'm not afraid to say that. I don't bow to people on earth. I don't believe in bowing to people. But I bow my head when I pray. And it's a wonderful thing to recognize that in Acts 2, verse 36, they recognized Him as Lord. And He is our Lord, and we appreciate and understand that. So the conclusion then, to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Brother Nichols used to emphasize that in his teaching. It stuck with me. That is that we try to glorify God. In my body and in my spirit. And Paul warned us that when you're under the dominion of Satan and serving him as a slave, you can't glorify God. There's no glory there. But when you have that conviction, and when you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and when you repent of your sins and are baptized into Christ, you're glorifying God. He gave His Son for that very cause, that we might do that. Are you listening this morning? Is there anyone that hasn't done that? Is there anyone holding you back? Is there something that keeps you from doing the best thing that you'd ever do in your life? Because that's what he's saying here. Glorify God. We mentioned earlier Romans 12 and verse 1, where we recognize we are to be transformed, not kept as we are, but be transformed because we are a living sacrifice to God. When those Jews brought their animals to the temple, before that to the tabernacle, they killed them. And that was a bloody sacrifice being given for their remembrance of sins. But now then, we don't die, we live. We live as a husband and a father. We live as a citizen. We live as a Christian. And we make the world better because of it. You know, I want to say this. If the whole world were living like us, wouldn't it be a better place to live? Wouldn't it be a better place to live if just people believed in Christ as we're doing and giving our life as a sacrifice to God? And we start one by one. I don't think we're going to be able to see 3,000 do that. I can only imagine what a blessing it would have been to be there and to see that many people being baptized. Today, very rare. The world is such a sad shape, it's so rare that somebody seeks to be baptized into Christ. But the Bible talks about planting the seed, the parable of the sower. And that out there somewhere, there's a good and honest heart. And that good and honest heart will come back and bring fruit to God. And that's what we're looking for. I was told by a man who trained insurance agents, don't listen to the no's. You're going to get a lot of no's when you try to sell an insurance policy. You're looking for the yeses. So when somebody says no, just keep on going looking for the yeses. I guess that's what we do as Christians. A lot of people say, no, I'm not interested. Well, I'm not interested in those that will not. But I'm interested in those who would. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're trying to make it as easy as possible. But if you're convicted of sin and you recognize that you're lost, you'd tear down the doors, if necessary, to obey the gospel. We're asking you simply to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Turn away from your sins in penitence. Confess the name of Christ, the best name that will ever come across your lips. Be buried with Christ in baptism today. We'll find a place. And you'll be a child of God. Your name will be enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. And heaven can be your home. We invite you forward while we stand together and sing the invitation number.
When we walk with the Lord,
Christ.
Tony Robbins has come. I've known him in the past. He lived in Abilene, worshiped with the church out there. His wife has had pancreatic cancer and has been down in Houston with the facilities there. And she now has, it has traveled to her brain. And she is with the daughter.
She's with my daughter in Waco. They let her go home Friday week ago. She said, if this is going to be my last time, she said, I want to spend at least one more Christmas with my family.
Okay.
And they've got her right now set up for limited mobility, but they've got her on oxygen. And she's with my daughter in Waco. We're going to hope to spend Christmas with her. Our anniversary is actually Wednesday. And on January 2nd, we've got to take her back into Temple for radiation.
Okay. It touches our hearts to know that you've suffered and she suffered like that. He is in need of financial help as well. So the elders will talk about this in a little while. If anyone here would like to help him personally, would like to have you just meet him after services is over. Let's have a prayer, please, for him. Bow together. Divine Father, we recognize how much we need thee every hour. Not a day goes by but what we do not need thee. We pray for the Robbins family, for Sister Robbins, for the things that she's enduring, as we well know here, that cancer pays no respect to anyone. We pray that she will have an easy passing and, Father, be named among those that are the people of God. Thank you for helping us when we have this need. I know that our strength comes from thee. Bless Tony. Bless his family. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. For the sound normal, but also like to say some things.
As most of you know, my wife passed away this last Sunday. And I just want to say that she loved each and every one of you here. She missed not being able to attend services because she always said that coming every Sunday, she got recharged. And she did enjoy coming and getting recharged. I would like to thank all of you for your cards, your prayers, your visits, your calls. On her behalf, I do appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Your love is returned in many, many ways. God bless you. We've all been so touched by the sicknesses in this congregation and the loss of loved ones. And in times like this, we turn to God. We're so grateful to be a part of His special people and to know that He hears us and that He gives us strength. And that's a precious thing. Our hearts are touched this morning by Brother Robbins and Brother Nauman and Sister Lee as well. And as a small church, we've lost a number of people that we didn't want to go. But nevertheless, we release them to go to be with God. And that's the thing that really counts the most. Thank you for being here this morning. It's an emotional time for all of us, but a precious time because we're not hesitating to show our love. We're not hesitating to reach out and hug one another. And I believe that Northside is filled with love for one another. And we show that and we mean it. God bless you all. We'll stand together for the closing prayer partner. Norma.
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers that Amy would be going home today.
That's so wonderful. Brian was her grandson and he's had a really hard time. And he's better than go home. We're so grateful for that. Please rise for the closing prayer.
Hi, Father, thank you for sparing us to assemble again. We pray for those that are bereaved that lost their loved ones and continue to bless them. They have strength to continue on. I pray for this brother and his wife. Hope that she can recover. Thank you for Brother Robinson's blessings and bring. Pray for all of our villages. Hope we all learn to speak the same thing, be governed by the same rule. So we pray now as we go to our respective places abroad, that you watch over and protect us. Bring us back next morning time, this blessing we have. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This big fitness center down here, what here?
It always changes.
Matter of fact, when you come up to the signal light from here on back, there's nothing but.
Oh, yeah, there's just nothing. Yeah, it's changed.
In fact, they're building the other side, building the landmarks, and they want to have a lot of time. So they're building the other side,
you can do that.
She fell back. She started shaking.
Thank God. It's just her shaking real hard. And I said, Carolyn, you okay? And her eyes rolled back in her head, and she just laid out. And I called paramedics. They rushed her to the hospital. They took her to a specialist and for a MRI and a CAT scan. And they found a tumor. They said, what it is, it's a tumor from the pancreas. They said that's what would happen. It's for a movie. When it hit that, she had the, they call it an aneurysm. And she had an aneurysm, which was the clot was trying to explode. It was trying to come out. And the blood caused it to cause an aneurysm.
No, we don't want that.
And it paralyzed part of her right hand side and part of her leg. She's mentally mobility and she's on oxygen right now. We're going back to the original that's probably going to be trauma.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. But she said, "Oh, I'm going to get her quick at least one more Christmas thing." And so we're going to.
I'm going to give you our card. That's for the website. That we have everything up there. And I'm sorry that you couldn't do more this morning. Yeah. Okay. But go to the church and we'll see you. It's on.
That's okay, I know where the light is.
I got dark.
Jesus will. If I count in the dark, it'll be on my favor. Now,
we went to Red Lobster in Abilene, and their menu is completely different than ours.
Well, we can do it today, a small group like us.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, years ago it was maybe Al came up and came through the aisle. We're back. Way back.